You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Good morning, Arizona homeowners. Come on with us. It is the first Saturday of the month. It's the 8 o'clock hour. That means we are talking farm fresh with the Farm Bureau. If you miss the 7 o'clock hour, if you live in a market that doesn't carry our Arizona hour, well, first slap them with a wet fish and then go check out the podcast. Rosie had a great interview with Tonto National Bridge. They're still out in the hallway yakking about it. Jan came down to talk pork, so everyone that heard that hour knows that we're going into the pork segment here. We'll get them back off the air. Gary may have to go grab them. They're just But we've got two great guests in here, Julie Murphy with the Arizona Farm Bureau, and we have a special guest with you. Before we get to that introduction, however, a couple things to clarify. First, if you would like to join the conversation at any point in time, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923, and we're already busy communicating there. We had somebody after Jan and Mom's pork recipe. Somebody wanted to know where to get salt cured or country cured ham, and we did a little research and we sent them to the meat shop in Phoenix as well as the pork shop in Queen Creek. If they don't have it, they should definitely know who does. Or you can send an email to info@rosieonthehouse.com. We monitor all three of those communication channels in real time during the broadcast and do our best to get them every question answered. But if you've got a home maintenance calendar and you're used to following along and you've got the expectation and you're looking at your November calendar and it says farm fresh cotton and you're like, wait, cotton? And he's setting up for pork. Well, that was my fault. We got him flipped. We covered cotton last month, so you can go back to the first Saturday in October and listen to a great podcast on cotton. And one additional thing I wanted to wrap up on cotton, and we'll add back to that link, is your blog you posted on Halloween about your 100-year victory,
yes.
100 years of war victory.
Yeah, we can declare victory against the pink bollworm, which is devastating to cotton, but the history behind it and how the farmers kind of shouldered with our scientists and attacked that bug, and we can declare it as of just this last month that we are pink bollworm free from its devastation on the cotton. Yay!
And what that means, the cotton farmers save about $24 million annually fighting this
right.
thing.
Right, yep.
That's huge.
Yeah, and we produce a high-quality cotton, especially California and Arizona, so it was pretty neat news, and I'm kind of a nerd as it is anyway, so I can really appreciate that story. But if you read it, you will be amazed. And it's on our blog on azfb.org.
And we're going to add that blog into the additional links back
Perfect.
On that podcast from October. And for everyone that was expecting to hear pork in October, well, we have it now in November. And you've got a special guest, Julie Murphy with the Arizona Farm Bureau. I'll let you introduce
yes.
your special guest.
Tom Miller. He's the executive director of the Arizona Pork Council. And if there's anyone that knows everything about pork in Arizona, it's Tom Miller. Oh. And you also were for about, 15 to 18 years, you actually had your own hog farm here in Arizona. So tell us a little bit about the history of pork in Arizona. By the way, this year the USDA announced that it's a $33 million industry in the state of Arizona.
Well, thank you, Julie. Well, my history with the Arizona pork industry goes back when I moved here in 1967. And at that time I went to work for what was called Arizona Milling, which is now Arizona Feeds, but they were just getting a program started to promote pork industry in this state, and that was my job. So I traveled all around the state visiting people that were producing pigs at that time, and we had them. Eventually, we had people in all four corners of, you know, up the north of Prescott, Yuma, up by Flagstaff, and Safford, Wilcox, Tucson, and around Phoenix. We had at one time we had members in this state, excuse me, and California, Nevada, New Mexico, and Texas. And at that time, all the pigs were marketed at the old Cudahy plant, if some of you may remember where that was. It was on East Washington around 48th Street. The building's gone now. But we set up a marketing association that actually was kind of the envy of a lot of different state associations because we did it different. We had a negotiated agreement with the Cudahy people on how we were going to be paid for the animals. And so we had quite a little operation for no bigger than we were. But over time, with for various reasons, poor market, expansion of houses, and all the association dropped in membership down to where we are today. And that's we basically have one commercial producer, and that happens to be the Smithfield Farm. It's up at Snowflake. And I kind of laugh because they produce on that one farm virtually the same number of pigs that we did when we had close to 100 members. So that kind of gives you an idea how big that operation is. But they do a great job up there. But like I said, they're probably the only true commercial producer in the state. I can think of one or two others that have smaller operations, but that isn't their real method of income. There's a lot of producers out there that have small numbers of sows that produce show pigs for the 4-H and FFA kids in the state. And, you know, they're important because they go out there and try to breed the best animals they can for these kids to have in their shows. So,
and they teach husbandry, animal care, and how to run a business. I've got some kids in 4-H and FFA that are already putting together business plans. You don't see that often in other areas. And the other thing that Tom and I have been doing a little bit more research on, and we've had it featured on Fill Your Plate for some time, is a lot of the smaller direct market pig farmers.
Yeah.
I think of Tim Wilson with the meat shop right on, I think it's 202 West Buckeye Road or Buckeye
That's
Road
exactly.
somewhere.
I've got it still open on my web browser. You
nailed it. He's still raising his own pigs. And then, of course, he's kind of closed loop because he's raising his pigs and he's also butchering them for the market, and they're very popular with his customers. I've heard on a Saturday morning, I've been there a handful of times, but on a Saturday morning that the line is literally going out the door. So we do have some small direct market farmer producers, but your history is kind of reflecting that a lot of it's consolidated, and the Midwest is known for a lot of our pork production. Yeah. We don't even light a candle in comparison to Iowa and Kansas and some of the other Midwest pork places, but it's still pretty neat to be able to say that we're producing $33 million worth of cash receipts in pork production, and most of that's up north with the Smithfield operation.
Yeah, there's those kind of people out there, and actually when we were going great and had all these producers, there wasn't that many because they all went to, you know, you could go in there with a pickup load of four or five pigs and take them to Cudahy, but when they closed, that's what kind of started the spiral of our industry going downhill. But in the meanwhile, I had the opportunity and the pleasure in 1987 and 88, I was elected vice president and then president of the National Pork Producers Council. And that's when we were in the 85 Farm Bill is when we passed what was called the Pork Act, and that created the checkoff system that we still use today, and that generated income for the whole industry that each animal that goes to market is checked off at 0.4% of its value. So $100 pig is 25 cents. But that's what generates the money for associations like ours to operate. But it was a exciting time, a very educational time, because we spent several of us spent a lot of time in Washington trying to get that legislation passed, and you got a real quick thorough lesson on how government operates. And it's sometimes kind of scary, but anyway, we got it done, and it's been been with us ever since then, and that's where we also came up with the pork, the other white meat slogan, which proved to be over the years one of the most successful advertising campaigns of anything. And
we still use it today, the other white
meat. Well, they've
meat.
Taken it out now. They're working on a new slogan. But, you know, when I go around at different events and I tell them who I am, people still say, oh, yeah, pork the other white meat. And
yep.
It's still with us. And so it was kind of fun being part of that and then seeing it grow and how important it became. But it's just been a real interesting 50 years of my life, I guess you'd say, because I've seen the pork industry in this state being very small, and then it got bigger, and then it got small again, and then, like I said, we have the Smithfield bought that farm up at Snowflake from Hormel. It's almost 2 years ago now, but
so I have to personalize this kind of run on history in the pork industry here in Arizona. So Tom Miller is my was my 4-H pork swine leader.
That's dating me now. You know.
It's dating me too. And this was when we were growing up. So my family, we farmed in Maricopa, and Tom Miller, the swine 4-H pork leader, you guys were in Casa Grande, but
I was in Maricopa.
Oh, you were in Maricopa too. Okay. So, but through that whole experience, and this is what continues to occur today, is these young people were taught animal husbandry. We have to keep record books. So by the time some of these 4-H and FFA kids have cycled out because of aging out of these programs, they can basically put a business plan together. And it's one of the things that has helped us be the next generation in agriculture.